AC.
Yo, what's happening?
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's do it.
You ready to explore new horizons?
I'm ready to explore deep space.
To go where no man
has gone before. And meet some aliens along the way.
Betty and Barney Hill. Am I getting that right?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's the couple's name.
They apparently started this whole abduction.
Oh, were they the original starters of this whole?
Well, I mean, they would
genre of.
I mean, there are people that say that, you know, the history of mythical beings, that's evidence of ancient aliens.
Oh, okay.
You know, all these stories of fairies or gods or
right.
angels,
right?
Ancient aliens. There's a TV show I think called Ancient Aliens.
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms. What
you,
about
have you
them?
Heard that? That mushrooms actually. Some people believe that mushrooms are aliens.
Are from.
From space.
Right.
Like they're from. They traveled here on comets and asteroids, and because the spores are indestructible, they can survive space travel. And that because they're so physiologically, biologically different than plants and animals on Earth, they're their own like category of being. So they think that maybe they come from another planet.
What makes you think they can survive space travel?
That's what I've read.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true. Of course, I have no idea.
Okay.
But it wouldn't surprise me.
Right.
Yeah. They're pretty strange, those mushrooms.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that think that you've heard of the stoned ape theory.
The stoned ape theory.
Yes.
Stoned meaning.
I think there's some theory that you know, humans' evolution from primates was helped along by psychedelic mushrooms.
The ingestion of psychedelic mushrooms and other such psychotropic plants.
Right.
Okay.
But we're getting a little off track here.
That's true. It's true. But it's interesting.
Yeah.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
And in some way, it's connected to aliens, I suppose.
But UFOs, you ever seen a UFO?
Yeah, I've seen a UFO.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I saw a bright orange disc in the sky with little black circles in it.
Uh-huh.
When I was about, I'd say maybe about 5 or 6 years old.
Uh-huh.
I was going to bed at night, and I was lying in bed, and I looked out my window, and I saw this disc in the sky above the house across the street, but way up in the sky. It was really high. Mm. And it was large, and it sat there for a couple of, maybe, I don't know, 10, 20 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And then whoosh, it just shot off, disappeared very quickly. And I was really excited, and so I ran into my parents' room, and I woke them up, and I was yelling, oh, I saw a UFO, I saw a UFO. And they told me to go back to sleep, that it was just a dream. I was really upset about that, because they just dismissed it as if it were, you know, just the ramblings of a little 5-year-old kid.
Well, do you think there's any chance it was a dream?
No, I don't think it was a dream. I remember it very clearly.
Right.
I was fully conscious.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you remember being really annoyed?
Yes, I was very annoyed at my parents for being so dismissive.
Yeah. Did you just drop it, or did you?
No, I just dropped it.
Yeah.
I mean, I still remember
it stuck with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, yeah. But well, anyway, that's my UFO experience.
Right.
Yeah. How about you? Have you ever come across a UFO?
Yeah, well, I mean, I came across an unidentified flying object.
That's a UFO, Dan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a UFO.
Well,
that's,
you know, there's some people, and I thought maybe you might be one of them.
That are that they're alien spaceships.
A little bit slow.
Flying saucers.
Yeah, I think I've told you the story, and you probably don't remember because it's not that interesting.
Yeah, I never remember your stories.
But so I was in the Bolivian Amazon, a small little border town on the border between Brazil and Bolivia.
As you do on your vacation.
Yeah. And I think it was like kind of a goodbye trip I was taking with a Brazilian girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
I was going to leave the country, and it was kind of like, okay,
when you were like a young man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we had, you know, this 3-month romance, and we both knew that this was the end.
Coming to the end. Right?
Yeah. And so we decided to take a little bus trip into this little Bolivian border town into the, in the jungles, like mm-hmm. a two street town.
Yeah.
Had one cafe
mm-hmm.
with streets out on the tables out on the street or on the sidewalk. We're sitting out there. There's a couple other tables around us. And over the treetops, we saw this light that was changing colors,
mm-hmm.
kind of moving around, kind of like a bee doing figure eights and different shapes. And then that light broke into two lights
mm-hmm.
that started to do like kind of a dance around each other.
Uh-huh.
And then it eventually ended up fading out.
Oh, that sounds like fireflies.
It was kind of moving like that. Uh-huh. It was very high up and it was quite bright and changing colors.
What if they were like giant Amazonian fireflies?
Well, whatever it was, the weirdest part was all the people in the tables around us, nobody was looking at it.
It's just,
and we were
too.
Like, what is that? And they were just like, you know,
maybe they didn't see it. Maybe it was just you two that could
see maybe,
it.
Or maybe, you know, they were pod people and they didn't want to upset the overlord fireflies.
That could be. It is possible. It's highly
unlikely.
Or
they're just used to. They're just used to seeing whatever those lights were.
Okay. Yeah. You interesting. Know. I like that.
I remember some of my a group of friends mm-hmm. here in Japan saw a UFO
mm-hmm.
and then it just didn't sound right to me. Like, I didn't think they were making it up, but these are kind of people that I just felt a little prone to fantasy.
Yeah.
And so I started interviewing them
uh-huh.
about what they saw.
Yeah.
And it was amazing how different.
Okay.
Like, some were seeing circular things. One guy saw like a pyramid, like flying structure.
Oh man.
So I don't know what kind of mass delusion that was.
Highly suspect.
But Barney and Betty Hill.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting that wrong. It just doesn't sound like a real name.
Well, regardless, the
Hills.
Couple.
That, I know it's the Hills.
Yeah, that they were abducted, right?
Right. Well, that's
supposedly.
The story. That's the story. They were coming back from a long road trip,
mm-hmm.
and apparently they had very stressful lives. Mm-hmm. They were an interracial couple at a time where that was very taboo,
right?
And apparently they had very stressful jobs where they were commuting hours a day, each of them.
Right.
And they were trying to get some downtime, so they took a trip.
Mm-hmm.
They ran out of money, which maybe also added to their stress. And then they ended up having to do a long drive back.
Right.
And I think they saw something, some kind of UFO.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they woke up and it was hours later.
Right.
So, And then I think they didn't know what happened. And then under hypnosis, this story of being abducted came out.
Yeah.
And that was made into a movie. And coincidentally, a couple months later, after that movie came out,
mm-hmm.
Travis Walton claims he was abducted.
Okay.
By aliens.
Uh-huh.
So the Travis Walton, that one, at first I was really interested in the story. And then apparently it was him and six coworkers. They were all mm-hmm. loggers. And, they have this story and maybe it's BS, but you know, over the course of decades, they've all stuck by their story.
Right.
Usually somebody's going to break.
Right.
And I think they've all had lie detector tests.
Right.
Something
like
16.
All, right?
No, they haven't passed them all.
Oh, they haven't.
But they passed most of them.
Yeah.
They've passed like 16 lie detector tests. I mean, there's one or two tests that are questionable.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe they do really believe that this happened to them and they experienced it somehow in their minds. If you experience something, you believe it's true. Like,
but six people.
Yeah.
That's where it, well, I mean, actually I just told you a story about a group of friends. when I quizzed them separately, they had different stories,
right.
And they've been holding the same story
yeah.
for decades now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's just one person, it's interesting. I was listening to this podcast with not with Travis, uh-huh. but with two of the other loggers.
Right.
And the podcast host who mm-hmm. went down to their town to interview them mm-hmm. and went camping on the site of the abduction.
Yeah.
And one of the ex-loggers, like they're in their 60s now, this happened when they're probably in their 20s.
Right.
And one of them said, like, I'm a really skeptical guy. And if it was, you know, I wouldn't even believe myself if it was only me having this experience.
Right.
Like I depend on my friends.
Yeah.
That, you know, they have that same memory. So right. it gives me some confidence that what I'm remembering is true.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm skeptical even of my own memories.
Right, right, right. Interesting.
So I thought that was, you know, possibly just a really clever thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Or the truth.
Yeah. I wonder if it happened on the 37th parallel.
Oh,
you don't know about the 37th parallel.
Is that like Bermuda Triangle?
Well, when it comes to talking about aliens, yeah. I mean, the 37th parallel is obviously one of the lines running east to west.
Uh-huh.
Coordinates.
Yeah.
And it runs through the United States, and apparently the large majority of alien UFO sightings and other strange phenomena have taken place on the 37th parallel, including cattle mutilations. Have you heard about cattle mutilations?
I have.
Where they find these cattle, and they've found thousands and thousands of them over the years. They have, you know, they've had all their organs removed with surgical precision. Some of what they've found is almost impossible to do with today's technology.
Hmm.
And all the blood gone and no blood around the area. Mm-hmm. Just incredible. And it's happened so many times. And I guess back in the 70s, the FBI launched an investigation into it. And they sent out like 100 different agents to investigate this. And they could find nothing. They could find no cause for it. They couldn't find a single perpetrator of these mutilations, and this is all also occurring along the 37th parallel. And some witnesses have seen bright lights in the area around these mutilations before they happen.
Is that where Area 51 is?
I think so. Yeah, I think it is. Furthermore, on the 37th parallel, that's the largest concentration of underground military bases in the U.S., government military bases. So just kind of an interesting coincidence that the 37th parallel, these
right.
mutilations, of course, we know about crop circles, which some people claim are caused by, you know, aliens. Whether that's true or not, who knows? But some of the designs certainly are symmetrical and pretty amazing.
Right.
But, yeah,
but I mean, they've shown that those are easily
I'm sure that
produced
you can,
by people
produce
with
those,
strings
yeah.
and That's very right. minimal technology.
Yeah. But no, I was just curious if these abductions had occurred along the same parallel or not.
Well, it was actually I can't remember where it was. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. So. You know, I got really interested in these stories, but the more I looked, the more it made me feel like made me kind of doubt
mm-hmm.
the and again, like you said, they maybe do. I imagine they probably do believe that they have been abducted, but when they cite as lie detector tests as the main evidence,
uh-huh.
I mean, lie detector tests, there's a reason that they don't allow those in courtrooms because they're not reliable.
Right.
They're not trustworthy. I mean, it's measuring heart rate, perspiration, and those things.
Yeah,
They can be gamed. Yeah. And even if they're not being gamed, people have different weird reactions
sure,
to other things
yeah.
that are not according to whether you're telling the truth or not.
Right. It could be plenty of other causes for that, yeah.
I had a friend who whose father, he was either in the FBI or the CIA. Mm-hmm. And my friend, he was like a troubled guy. He got into a lot of trouble as a young guy. And I think he wanted, as he started to get into his early 20s, he wanted to get into law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And I think he actually did end up becoming a cop. And I remember him telling me about how his father was training him about how to beat a lie detector test.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's all these different techniques from like holding your breath. So you create some tension.
Yeah.
And, that maybe allows you to sweat or, allows your heart rate to rise so that you're giving a stressed physical response when you're telling the truth. So somebody says like,
and that's your back.
What's your address?
That's your
and
like
then
background,
you show stress
right, line,
and then that just screws up all the results.
Yeah.
Or they'll put like a tack in their shoe and they'll prick their toe to make their body freak out to confuse the test. And then it's like the guy running the lie detector test, he's like, I can't tell anything about this guy. Yeah. He's getting nervous when I ask him what his name is.
Right. Interesting.
But, you know, there are the last story was about the U.S., military program that is recently was big news in the end of last year. Mm-hmm. The head, Elizondo, he recently resigned in protest because he felt that, UFO research was not getting enough attention and that, he felt the evidence that they had of, you know, was being of UFOs was being ignored because nobody wanted to look like the UFO nut. Nobody wanted to look like a crackpot.
Yeah, there's a huge stigma attached to people who come out and talk about UFOs as if they're perfectly legitimate topics of discussion.
Yeah.
In the U.S. anyway.
I think you can
maybe it's different in other places.
It could really harm your military or your government career. You'd be ridiculed and sidelined.
Sure.
And so even people who believe in it, you're just like, this is not going to help me to talk about this.
Right. So who's this guy Bigelow? This billionaire, like, I read something really interesting about him.
Yeah.
That apparently, like a lot of pilots in the military and commercial pilots that fly commercial jetliners, you know, they're up in the skies a lot and they see UFOs.
Yeah.
With some degree of regularity. And apparently, if you are a pilot and you see a UFO, you're not supposed to report it to the FAA in the pilot's manual. This is what I've read. I don't know if this is true, but you have to report it to this company, a private company that's run by this guy Bigelow. And that's where they're doing all the research on, they're collecting all the evidence. They're doing all the research on cattle mutilations and UFO sightings. Like that's the entity that's doing, gathering all the data these days, or has been in the recent past.
Yeah, I did read that they were, the government was outsourcing some of their research to his company.
To his company, that's exactly
and
right.
And he, this billionaire guy Bigelow, I think he's friends with Harry Reid, a senator.
Yes.
And he's one of the few senators in Congress that knew about this secret project and got it funding.
I see.
But yeah, we'll have to embed a couple of those videos and interviews from the pilots talking about their experiences. It is pretty interesting and I think a lot more credible than a lot of these abduction stories.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are interesting, too. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It could be tonight, Dan.
Right. The truth is out there.
You could be abducted.
Keep your mind open. All righty, Aaron. Until next time.
All right. We'll talk to you then.